Welcome back to Juno Afternoon. As we continue to explore ways that different groups are investing in Juno to help it through its growing pains, to make it a place where innovative solutions are found for some difficult problems. And joining us, Amy Skillbred and Jamie Waste from one of Juno's biggest nonprofit problem solvers. Amy is the executive director. And we're going to start off with you, Amy. Apparently, COVID relief is helping to solve a lot of problems, and we understand that the foundation is rolling out some new funding.
Yeah, thank you, and thank you for having us on today. The Juno Community Foundation started pretty early back in May, requesting donations for our food assistance and community assistance fund, and the community just turned out in droves. And since then, you know, there was a big push early on, but we've had steady donations and are really grateful to how amazingly generous Juno is. And we've been able to raise about $300,000 in those two funds. And this is the third sort of round of grants that we are giving out. Back in May, we originally began with $20,000, 10 each to the Juno School District and the Southeast Alaska Food Bank, both of those to support the food needs that people had. And then the second round was focused more on the personal protective equipment, masks mainly, and then hand sanitizer, making sure that that was available. And also helping the homeless with being more socially distanced by providing new tents, some funding to assist with providing new tents out at the campground for them. And this round, go ahead.
Yeah. No, I guess, you know, no one ever thinks about the fact that the homeless might need new tents. I mean, they're not on the radar screen, but definitely they're more vulnerable than anybody, perhaps, to COVID.
Well, a lot of people getting together, and we had a particularly wet and cold summer. And so I think that was the impetus of trying to assist with providing those tents. And they had redone the campground and moved it from out on Thane to a little bit closer. And so they were looking for some funding to assist with that. And then most recently, our third round, so we sort of waited to see where the CARES Act funding, that's the federal funds that came to the state and then the city, and where those funds would assist. And then they were scheduled to end at the end of December. Their use, and that's been extended, but we are finding that several of the projects that were started under that funding need support to continue going. And particularly, we've providing $50,000 to United Way of Southeast Alaska for their Juno Cares Meals program. And that's putting restaurants to work to make meals to feed homeless people. And that was started with a grant from the Alaska Community Foundation, a CARES Act grant, and then we're using some of the COVID funds that were raised in order to help with that. And then we are supporting three different churches that are doing Safe Space for School program, and that's a Shepherd of the Valley, Resurrection Lutheran, and Congregation Sukkot Shalom. And those funds are to enable those churches to open their doors, have good internet, have breakfast and lunch for some number of school children that mostly live in the area and can easily get to a place that they can, you know, study, where they have a little bit more room, they can go online for lessons and get a little assistance from the adults with that.
How is that affecting the children? What do you hear from people about having this available?
I've been in touch with, unfortunately, not with the kids, but with the school district and with folks who are running these programs. And they said that they've had, you know, anywhere from 14 to some of them 20 kids coming every day in order to be there and have that space, and that they really do sign on for schoolwork and are on the Zoom classes. They have a better internet access. And so we're trying to help with the problem that's been identified across the country, which is how kids who don't have high-speed internet and maybe have less resources, maybe falling behind in classes. And, you know, it's not a huge number of kids, but what we're hearing from the school district is that it's been pretty important. And the different programs are really coordinating with the school district. Resurrection Lutheran is working pretty closely with Harborview School. Congregation Sukkot Shalom is going to be working with Sayuk Gastineau Elementary School. And so it's helpful to have those places available, and they're actually attracting kids of all different ages.
So lots of partnerships to make that happen.
Oh yeah, yeah. And it's it really takes, I think, organizations that can be nimble and innovative, and really they see a need and then they come to us and ask us if we can help pay for that need or cover it. And since some of these had already been up and going with other CARES Act funds, and then those funds ran out, and the school district said, you know, we really could use it through February, just because although school has opened, not everybody goes to school all day, every day by any stretch. So,
well, I understand that you've also been working hard towards getting a new Juno Youth Shelter.
Correct. And that was the other grant that we did on this third round, is $15,000 to support opening a Juno Youth Shelter. And those funds are going to be going towards reacquiring a building that used to be the Juno Youth Shelter. And then they're applying to other funds that we have to try and help with the program and the cost of the program in the coming year. So,
well, Jamie, I want to talk to you a little bit about some of, you're a program manager for the foundation. It seems like this organization has its fingers in so many pies.
Yeah, so at the heart of our mission really is promoting philanthropy in the community and therefore supporting the community. So understandably, in the year 2020 with the pandemic and everything, some of this emphasis has been on supporting for COVID, you know, COVID support. But in the meantime, we are involved throughout the community in different aspects. So arts and culture, parks and trails, youth and education are kind of broad categories that we're developing endowments in. And one of them, the Arts Vibrancy Endowment, at the end of 2020, for the very first time, the foundation was able to award individual artist grants. And that had been a goal of the foundation for quite a few years, to get to the point where we can start directly investing in local artists who are creating in our hometown and are such an essential part of our arts and culture here. So that was at the end of 2020. We just announced the 2021 grant award opportunity. So the application period is open. Any artists that are interested, go to our website. You'll find, you can find the information you need and the application materials pretty easily on the website. We have $10,000 available. The awards will be up to $2,500. So there's an opportunity here for an artist to secure some funding. And we support all art forms and idioms, including but not limited to visual arts, dance, music, fabric arts, photography, theater, and literary arts. They're all eligible for funding. So we're very excited about this because we talked about it for a number of years, had to raise enough funds to actually be able to start grant making, and now we are.
So I'm kind of curious about the parks and recreation arm of Juno Community Foundation. I understand that you're working on the Treadwell Ditch Trail renovation project. It's, you know, a Treadwell Ditch Trail. that's a mouthful, but what's that all about?
Well, it's real exciting because that has, early on when we first started trying to have an impact in this area, we had two top priorities. One was to help build a public use cabin up at Eagle Crest. That's the Hilda Dam cabin that's been successfully completed and is quite popular with the public. The other one was the Treadwell Ditch Trail, and we partnered with Trail Mix and said, you know, we think we can help raise some funds here to really finally kind of renovate this trail that's been a priority for many years. So in 2019, we secured a large grant from the Alaska Department of Fish and Game to do that very thing. It's a $660,000 grant. It required a $220,000 community match. And just last month, that match was realized. So at the very beginning of that challenge, the city and borough of Juneau said, we'll put $100,000 in. The foundation, meantime, has raised the next $100,000. And last month, Trail Mix, which is obviously the lead partner in the project, really mobilized their membership and they raised the remaining funds. So it's very exciting to have the entire match raised just a couple of years into the project. And just real quickly, these funds from Fish and Game, they actually come from the Federal Aid and Wildlife Restoration Program. It's the Pittman-Robertson Act. And these are taxes that are on firearms, ammunition, and archery equipment that are used to support public access to wildlife resources, improve hunter access and safety for all users. So that is the funding source.
Taxes at work in a good way. So you've talked about how all of these pieces are coming together and so much is involved. So what's the final vision? I mean, what are we going to enjoy if it all comes together?
Well, I'll start and then Amy can finish on this one. But I referenced community endowments. So for the foundation's legacy to the community when, you know, as new people come and go, is that these endowments will be big enough to sustain and support these different aspects of the community for generations to come. Many people have, you know, really enjoyed living here and have done well here, and these community endowments are a way of, you know, having a bit of a legacy and support of their hometown in the future.
Yeah, and I'd say, Rhonda, that the vision is this growing and continuing to grow philanthropy and growing these endowments and providing to the community in not only these areas, but youth equity that we're doing and providing grants there as well. And then also in the funds that people start themselves. Someone has already started a Treadwell Ditch Trail maintenance endowment in order to keep the work on the trail, keep it up, you know, have funds to repair it as needed and provide capital improvements. People are starting a mental health support and suicide prevention endowment in order to be able to support that area. We have a Juneau hospice endowment. So there are lots of different areas. And the way we work is we really try and listen to what people would like to do. How do they want to give back to the community and how we can help them do that? And it's sort of a mission that's actually never done. There's always going to be new generations. So.
Well, we're glad that the Juneau Community Foundation is there to do that. And we want to thank you both for joining us, Amy Skillbred and Jamie Wace with the Juneau Community Foundation. Thank you.
Thank you, Rhonda. Good to see you.
Good to talk with you again.